Good morning. It is good to be back in the house of the Lord today after missing last Lord's Day. We've missed being here. But we're thankful that the Lord, in His grace and mercy, has allowed us to be back in His house this week. Been kindly thinking and pondering this week over, and we know the conditions of our nation and the society in which we live. And we are concerned about it. And we, as the people of God, should be concerned about the situation that is going on. And we, as the people of God, I think that we have to have our hearts right, and our thoughts and our lives right before that we can approach our Heavenly Father to ask for help in our nation. And today I would like to talk about the wisdom. Now I know Brother Herb has mentioned about the mighty wisdom of God. And He's teaching us in Hebrews, and we are learning about the wisdom of God. And so we know that what wisdom He had in purposing and planning everything from the beginning to the end. And so that we as the people of God are to be able to get this wisdom. Now, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, the scripture says, "If my people that are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land." So we, as the people of God, needs the wisdom that it takes to understand that God is the only God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, and that He is control of all things. And so, in Proverbs chapter 4, it says, "Hear ye children the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding." Now, sometimes we as the people of God live our lives like we don't understand who God is and what He is and what He expects. He says, "For I give you good doctrines, forsake ye not my law." It is wisdom that we shed abroad the Word of God in our hearts, that we know the Word of God. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, "Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all of thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, and I have led thee in the right paths. And when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straight. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, from she is thy life. Enter not into the paths of the wicked, and go not into the way of the evil man. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For thy sleep, for they sleep not except they have done mischief, and they sleep is taken away unless that they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. And the way of the wicked is as darkness, and they know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, from them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all of their flesh. Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, perverse lips put from far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the paths of thy feet, and let all of thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. So we have instructions here. So it's wisdom if we listen to God's instruction. Wisdom, a Hebrew word, H-O-K-M-A-H, Hokamah, has a special meaning of skill in an art. It has also a more general meaning of intelligence, sensible, judicious, endowed with reason in using it. Wisdom is the practical application of correct knowledge and understanding. Now, it's important that we know the scriptures and shed it abroad in our hearts, but it is important that we apply that correctly, knowledge and understanding, knowing what to do, when to do it, and with whom to do it. You know, sometimes it's wisdom to not say anything, you know. It's best just to keep your mouth shut. But sometimes it's wisdom maybe to interject and to help if you can. So this is the revealed ability to make wise choices. Wisdom is defined as the ability to discern or judge what is true, right, are lasting. Sometimes we make foolish choices, don't we? And decisions. We don't use good, godly, based instruction to make our decision. And when we do, we are sorry for that and make mistakes. Another Hebrew word, sakal, S-A-K-A-L, means to be prudent, circumspect. So prudent is a practical wisdom, prudent in the management of affairs. And circumspect is watching carefully how you live. Now, we know in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." That means that we are to walk in our everyday life alert, taking notice of what's going on around us, that we might not be caught up in some ungodly circumstance, but we are to walk circumspectly. I know back my dad used to send me down to the bottom, down on Magby Creek. It'd be after dark to round the cows up, to bring them up to the barn to be fed that night. Well, I'd go down through that path at dark. Well, I'd be walking, and I'd be looking, because I didn't want nothing to grab me. So that's what it means, that when we're walking down life's way, that we are to walk circumspectly, that we're to look over our shoulder, because what is it, 1 Peter 5 and 8, the Lord says that the devil is like a roaring lion, and he is going to and fro in the earth trying to devour and to destroy. So we have to be, and the devil is smart about that, that we are to have the wisdom of God concerning our lives. So take heed by looking around thoroughly and prayerfully, by giving attention to circumstances and consequences, by guarding against everything improper and unbecoming for a Christian. Keep a sharp outlook for those things that would cause you or your brother to stumble. I remember back, Brother Elvis Gregory told me one time, and back then they used to have some risque movies going on at the theaters, and stuff that wasn't real good watch. And he told me, he said, you know, we are to watch where we go. If we have a suspicion that it's something there that's not good, that we are not to be there. Because, he said, if you go to this place and you're standing in line to get a ticket, and the people passing by and seeing you stand there in that line, that's going to ruin your testimony that you're in line. So if we need to shun, the scripture says, and what he was saying, the very appearance of evil. So we are to walk circumspectly. We're to have wisdom in that. This denotes that exact accuracy, which is the result of diligent carefulness, not as fools, that's men lacking wisdom. That's what a fool is. Psalm 14 and 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works, and there is none that doeth good. So, but we are to be as the wise, those children of God that are seeking to please God sensibly and thoughtfully. We need to be careful and prayerful that we do not walk in perilous places, in the pitfalls of perdition and in the snares of the devil. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse 16, this was a warning here that the Lord was giving his 12 disciples, or the nucleus of the New Testament church, and it's still a warning for us today. It says, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. So we are to always be on the alert. Also, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16, it says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. It is wise if we redeem the time. And that means that we don't waste our time that God has given to us as His elect people to serve Him and to spread the gospel. We are not to use that frivolously. We are to redeem that time. That means use it good. Redeeming the time. Buy up the opportunity. The Greek present tense denotes keep on buying. The price is self-denial and strenuous work. There is also opportunity to serve the Lord, to witness for Christ, to be a channel of blessings, and to advise or to advance the cause of Christ. Because the days are evil, there are many obstacles in the way. Much opposition today to God, and much corruption in the world, as we see. So we do not let any opportunity pass that we have to tell someone about Christ or to live for Him in our everyday lives. Because according to Ephesians 2 and 10 that we are and 8 that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So that He had before ordained that we should walk in them. So God has ordained from the beginning that His people would walk according to His word and obey His word. So this is all come in under the umbrella, I believe, of the part of sanctification or living for the Lord in our everyday lives. Now, I was thinking about when I was reading, studying this in Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah was referred to as the weeping or the mourning prophet. And he was concerned about the nation of Israel and the condition that it was in. And reading these chapters, 6, 7, 8, and 9, it is very familiar to what I see that I believe that is going on in the world today. And so in chapter 8 of Jeremiah and verse 22, it says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the help of my daughters, the daughters of my people, recovered? Is there no balm? Is there no healing? There is a healing today in America. And His name is Jesus Christ. He has, from the foundation of the world, purposed and planned to save a people for His name's sake. And He has, in wisdom, purposed and planned from the beginning to the end their salvation, past, present, and future. And He is in control of that. And He says, I come to heal all of your diseases. And He, on the cross of Calvary, justified us through his death, his crucifixion, that we might could be healed, that we could be saved. And so we know that he is not only the Savior or the healing of the soul, but he is the great physical physician that heals. And if we are healed today, we have to understand and believe and know that he is the great healer. I notice some conditions in chapter 8 of Jeremiah in verse 5. It says, "Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but there spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to the course as the horse rushes unto the battle. Yea, the stork in the heavens knoweth her appointed time, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord." We as people sometime of children of God know to do right, but we are stubborn and will not do it. We know that what we're doing is wrong, but we have too much pride to humble ourselves to ask for wisdom and for forgiveness of God. It says in verse 10, "Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone from the least even unto the greatest is given to covetousness. From the prophets even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughters of my people, slightly saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." You know, we hear a lot about peace today, but there will not be peace. We need to know the wisdom of God that there will be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes. It says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall in the time of their visitation, and they shall be cut down, saith the Lord. You know, we don't blush about anything anymore. Anything goes. Everything's all right, but it don't embarrass us. We look for peace, but no good come, and for the time of help, and behold, trouble. "For behold, I will send serpents, carcadises among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. And when I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is fainting me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughters of my people, because that they that dwell in a far country is not the Lord in Zion. Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past. The summer is ended and we are not saved. For the herd of the daughters of my people am I heard. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the help of the daughters of my people recover. Verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1. Oh, that my head were water and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slaughter of the daughters of my people. Oh, that I had in willingness of lodging place, of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, for they are not valiant for the truth, but upon the earth, for their proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. We are seeing in our nation today that we are just building up evil upon evil, and there that we need to know and have the wisdom of God to know that in Hebrews it tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. In verse 14 of Jeremiah 9, it says, but they have walked after the imaginations of their own hearts and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Verse 19, for a voice of wailing is heard out of Zion. How are we spoiled? We are greatly confounded because we have forsaken the land, because our dwelling has cast us out. So we go to chapter 9 and verse 23 and 24. The knowledge of God. He says here, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, nor let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So we can see here, Jeremiah here is having lamented for the follies of his faithless people. He turned their attention to the source of wisdom, which is the Lord himself. True wisdom was to be found in the consistent following of three central qualities of spiritual life. Number one, the Lord said there in verse 23 and 24, his loving kindness. So the exercise of true covenant loyalty. It is wisdom that we understand that our God, before the foundation of the world, made a covenant, the Trinity, that they would save and elect people for their name's sake. And then, at the space of time, he made a covenant with Abraham that he would be a father of many nations. And it would be through Isaac shall thy seed be called. So it was because of the love and the kindness of God. We know that Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So if we are wise, we understand that he exercises, and is true to covenant, eternal covenant loyalty. Second, he is loyal to judgment. The consistent application of true justice for all. You know, I'm glad. And we talk a lot about justification of the children of God. And I'm glad that God, Jesus Christ, on the cross, justified us, forgave us, and paid for our sins. Now, He is just, we sin. And it says we sin, we have an advocate with the Father that we ask forgiveness, and He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. He's faithful in that. It's wisdom that we understand and know that we are secure. We are saved forever. There is none that is lost that Christ has died for on the cross of Calvary. That's wisdom. That is that we understand that. He's also just in the judgment of the wicked. They will get their just deserts. You know, David got upset one time because the wicked seemingly was prospering and doing well. But he says, until I came into the house of God, I realized the end of the wicked. So, it is wisdom to know. Also, He performs righteousness. The maintenance of what was right in the sight of the Lord in all of life. Now we know that we as a people of God are righteous, but not by our own righteousness. It is by the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. That we are not righteous, but we are declared righteous because of what Christ has done for us. So that is wisdom that we need to understand and know. God answers with two universal truths. Salvation is for all who know God and who is known of God. And in judgment is for all who are unbelievers in heart. Now, in verse 25 and 26, it is, behold the day, come, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcision. Egypt and Judah and Edom and the children of Ammon and Moab and all of that are in the utmost corner that dwell in the wilderness, for all of these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in the heart. Now, we know that Judah could not rely on the circumcision to protect her. Neither can anyone, because the circumcision of the flesh, of the keeping of the law, but if you broke the law in one part, then your circumcision become void. So, it is incumbent on us to have the wisdom to understand that as Jesus talked to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, He says, Nicodemus, you got to be born again. And he says, well, Lord, I am a grown man. How can I enter into my mother's womb and be born a second time? And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again, or from above, literally from above. got to have your heart circumcised. It's got to be the circumcision of the heart that is given by God, and He's the only one that can do that. There, it is no substitute for the pure heart demanded by God. In Matthew 5 and 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So, James 1 and 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all," in parentheses, men, was added, literally, "and upbraideth not," or "does not criticize, and it shall be given him." James 3:17 says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." 2 Timothy 3:15 says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." There's a scripture that says that we need to shed the word of God abroad in our hearts that we might not sin against Him. It is good that we teach our children. It says that we are to teach our children betimes. That betimes means early. And I remember Brother Elvis one time said that we need to start teaching our children in the high chair so that later on we'll keep them out of the electric chair. A lot of truth in that. Ecclesiastes 2:26. "For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail together and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit." So, wisdom is like God's grace. Wisdom is alien to the natural man. Yeah. Just like grace. In 1 Corinthians, what is it, Brother Herb? I didn't write that down. 14, verse 14, 1 Corinthians 2:14. "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So, I'm reminded of the wisdom of Solomon. And we know the account in Solomon chapter 3 that, you know, Solomon, the Lord came to Solomon one day and asked Solomon what he had given him, anything he wanted, and what he asked for. So Solomon asked for wisdom. So the Lord gave him wisdom, and he says, "In that you have asked for wisdom and not have asked for riches and for worldly things, I'm going to make you rich, give you riches." And so the scripture says that I think Solomon was one of the richest people in the world. And the scripture says that that he was the wisest man. Now, we know later in his life maybe he didn't use that wisdom to the best of what he should have, but nevertheless, God blessed him because he was humble enough to ask for wisdom. And these two harlots came to him one day, and they too had a young baby. And so they were living together, and one night one of the ladies rolled over on her baby and killed it. Well, they got in a fuss and a fight about whose baby was dead and whose was alive. Well, they said that Solomon told them to bring to him, and he said, bring me a sword. And he says, now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to cut this baby in half and give half of it to each one. Well, one of the ladies says, no, let that lady have, let her have the baby. So Solomon says, in his wisdom, he says, this is the mother. So, the Lord, if we will humble ourselves as the people of God, and seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. Turn. Repentance. That's what turning is a repenting. Then will God hear us, and will heal our land, and will bless us. We have it all backwards. We think that we have to work hard, and we do. I'm not against work because God says that's the way we're to work. But we think we have to have to work hard and spend our time and money to have the best of everything. But the Lord says, I am the maker of the rich and of the poor. And he told Solomon, he says, in that you have not asked for riches or for earthly things, but you have asked for wisdom, that I'm going to give you riches. I just wonder what would happen if we, as the elect of God, could have the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of Almighty God, that we could serve him to the uttermost, to his requirements according to his word, and we'll just see how he works among his people. Heavenly Father, as we approach your throne today, we come thanking you, Lord, that you are God, and besides you there is none other. And Lord, we just pray for our nation and the leaders of our nation that they might have wisdom in leading this nation. But Lord, we first know that before that we can have wisdom, we're going to have grace. We're going to have your blessings and your salvation in order to receive your wisdom and to apply it to our hearts and our lives. So I pray that you might save our leaders, that you might give them wisdom to lead this nation in the way that you'd have them to go. And Heavenly Father, especially I pray for your people, that we'd be faithful to you, that you would continue to watch care over us and protect us and keep us from harm, because you tell us in your word that the work that you have begun in us, you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, we're thankful for that, because it's in Christ's name I ask. Amen.